In response to that, I say, thank God. A three-year-old walked up to a pregnant lady while waiting with his mother in a doctor's office. He inquisitively asked the lady, "Why is your stomach so big?" She replies, "I'm having a baby." With big eyes, he asked, "Is the baby in your stomach?" She said, "Sure is." Then the little boy with a puzzled look asked, "Is it a good baby?" She said, "Oh yes, it's a really good baby." With an even more surprised and shocked look, he asked, "Then why did you eat him?" And you don't even have to think about that one. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. And Lord, I just ask that what so powerfully affected me, Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would give to everybody that's hearing this right now that same stirring that you gave me when you spoke this to me, Father. And I just pray that I walk in your strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. I initially told John that the title for today's message was, "It's All About the Waterfall." That's our picture up there. However, as I begin to prepare, I felt to change it to, "It's All About Transformation and Power." Okay. I told Pastor Roy that I had something to share from a study that I'm doing in John in preparation for the new CD project named Red, The Words of Jesus. However, the Lord changed that last week, thanks to my dear friend, Bill Wire. Before I start, I just really felt from the Lord to bless my dear brother. He's a faithful brother, a man of integrity, and he's one of my favorite brothers. And it's because of the creativity that God had given him that I saw what the Lord wanted me to see and what wanted me to share with you today. You know, it's a funny thing. As I'm getting older, I see the Lord moving in so many things in my everyday life. And I don't know about you, but I'm especially seeing them in nature. You know, Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And in Psalm 96:11 through 12, "Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all of the trees of the fields," or the woods in this version, "will rejoice before the Lord." So I will be painting a picture, and hopefully by the end, you'll see a clear picture that will encourage you in your faith and your walk with the Lord. I will be talking, and it seems like we've been doing a lot of this lately, but I will be talking about the transformation of my backyard. Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? And I'm going to be sharing the changes and what they mean and some of the what they mean symbolically to me and to us as a fellowship. When you walk into my backyard, a lot of people have told me that the first thing that they notice is the waterfall. Not only do they see the waterfall, obviously, they hear the waterfall. However, the yard has not always been that way. As I stand here today, I realize that nearly everyone in our fellowship has had either homes or yards transformed. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I see our growth in the spirit as these changes have occurred in each of our lives. There has been much maturing and growing in the faith. But before I start, I want to digress a bit in time. As per my son Jonathan, after a short conversation with my wife last night, I need to make a disclaimer. You appreciate that? What I'm about to share is the best of my recollection. My wife may have some different details, and you could ask for the corrections later. We have lived in our home now for approximately 32 years, and like I said before, the property has changed from the time we moved in to the time we're there right now. The backyard in the early days was not used a lot. It just wasn't really nice. Nobody's fault except me. We did not spend a lot of time back there. However, there were some significant things that had impacted me and has become part of my experience, my growth, and my maturity. Early on, as some of you may have remembered, we had a pool in the back corner where the waterfall is. And we had a raised deck in the backyard. And I remember we used to have fellowship back there. And it wasn't until the transformation that occurred in Cindy's house, we used to have baptisms in that pool. People giving their lives to Christ and making a confession of faith in those pools. Last week during the service, I don't even remember when during the service, out of the blue, the Lord brought to me, to my remembrance, an incident that occurred in that back pool area. Just literally sitting there and all of a sudden, boom, it's there. I remember when the parents of a young lady we had embraced as a family had come to visit us. I don't know if any of you in here remember Kay Hayden, but Kay Hayden was a nanny, and we had taken her under our wing as a family. She was from Indiana, and she had come here, I believe, to Stony Brook or somewhere to become a nanny. Do you remember? I don't remember either. Well, we had a pleasant visit with her parents, and towards the end of the night, her dad asked me if he could talk to me in the backyard. No problem. So where does he go? He heads directly for the pool area. And I head, follow him directly to the pool area. When we got there, he wanted to thank Elizabeth and I for watching out for his daughter while she was here in New York. It was a big deal coming from Indiana, South Bend, to New York. Slightly big move. He then asked me a favor. He says, "Will you keep doing it? And will you give my daughter away when she gets married?" Generally, when you hear that, the second sentence isn't going to be so great. He told me that he hadn't told his family, but his cancer had returned. And the doctors told him that he had 3 months to live. Sure enough, 3 months later, he went home to be with the Lord. And a short time after that, Elizabeth and I flew to South Bend, Indiana, and walked his daughter down the aisle. See, the father wanted a man of God, somebody he knew he could trust in the Lord, to do something he knew that he couldn't do. And it was done in that backyard area, that back place by the pool. I walked Kay down the aisle, and she got married to a young man named Rob McEwen, and I'm happy to say that is, you know, they're doing well today. So, well, after a few years, we had to take the pool down, and the area became, and this is a funny thing, I couldn't find a term or a word to use what was left. And I called Bill Wire. I said, "Bill, do you kind of remember what was in between?" And he said, "It was barren." So I said, "You know what? That's a pretty good word, Bill." So that area, in my notes, was simply barren with a lot of mulch on it. I seem to remember, I think we had a swing set over there that was somewhere near the pool. We did? Who said we did? Tori? Dawn, way to go, girl. Well, a few years later, it seemed to Elizabeth and I that there was a chance that Mom and Dad, Elizabeth's mom and dad, were going to move in with us into our home. So we made a decision that it was time to overhaul the backyard. Now, if any of you remember that backyard, one of the things that was a pain was that aluminum awning that I hit my head on at least a couple of times. Well, we decided that we needed to rip everything up. Everything had to go. So what we did is, we had concrete patios that were made the old-fashioned way that had all of this metal and rebarb and all this other stuff in it. So with the help of Tyson Gorman, Jason Kasoulis, and my sons, we moved 12,000 pounds of concrete with a little Pikes wagon. For any of you that are listening and have children, if you want something indestructible, it's the little Pikes wagon. We had everything ripped up and everything was taken out. There was no need to keep anything old. Let's begin with something that was fresh. We wanted a patio, and I also wanted a sitting area towards the back of the yard under a pine tree for my wife. I specifically wanted it for her because I wanted a place where she could sit with the Lord and have a place of contemplation. And I also, we wound up having a relationship with Dan Montaldo, many of you know. As a matter of fact, he works for the company that designed Pastor Roy and Marie's house. But we were the first house that he designed out of college, the first landscape. And he wound up doing everything, not only the drawings, the plans, but he actually did all of the installation. And Dan, from the very beginning, said to me, "Rudy, you know that corner over there? It'd be great with a waterfall." I said, "Thank you, Dan, but money is an issue." And I think one of the problems is that I work with a lot of wealthy people who, if they see it, they dream it, they get it without any, you know, thought for money. And the waterfalls were always the things that just absolutely caught my eye. Well, the backyard all of a sudden became a haven for our whole family. And Dad moved in with us. Thank God we had the awning and the concrete, and we used to roll Dad out the back, and he used to sit and used to enjoy it. But it was also a place where everybody in the family could sit out there. It was beautiful. We could sit and we could hear the Lord. We could hear the voice of the Lord in the quiet. It was shortly after that time that I asked Bill Wire if his son Alex, who had designed his waterfall, if Alex could come and design a waterfall for us. I said, "Bill, if Alex can design it, we'll be the labor. We'll come in, we'll be the labor." So we began, and through tedious and backbreaking, with the highlight under backbreaking, we did the work, and all of a sudden we had a beautiful waterfall. We would sit in the early morning or at night with the lights out and the stars out and hear the cascading water, and it would bring a calming and a soothing to the soul. We were so grateful. Well, 2 years later, with the waterfall, it developed some leaks, and the flow and the cascading all of a sudden became like a trickle. It was still pretty, it was still a waterfall, but it was like not what I had envisioned. So I was thinking, maybe it's time to tear it down and start all over again. But before I did that, I called Bill and ask him if there's anything he could do. Now, if any of you know my brother Bill, if it can be fixed, it will be fixed. He is an absolute solution-oriented brother. He moved a couple of rocks, he repositioned some, and then he took the small hose that was running the water into the reservoir for the waterfall to come down, and he put a 2-inch hose. He increased the volume of the water that actually came into the waterfall. Those little bitty changes made all the difference in the world. John, can you run the video? Oh, it's running. Is the sound on? Or you can't get sound through there? If you can't do the sound, no big deal. You can't hear it so much, but it's just really it's really special. Yeah, come on over. Oh, there you go. That actually was this morning, early this morning. So, thank you, John. All right, you can cut it, brother. Why did I tell the story of my backyard and the waterfall? Partially because of the stages that we go through as believers. We come to this place in God. We stay there for a while. And then we become part of a God transformation. Sometimes God needs to take the old foundations and rip out the old foundations to put new foundations in. And yet sometimes it doesn't need being completely ripped out. It just needs to be tweaked what God has already put inside of us and what he's revealed to us. And it just needs to come to the place where we see it and where we begin to walk in it. I keep singing that song, but it's becoming more and more vibrant as we've continued to grow from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit has a way for each of us to go through these very necessary changes. And the reason we go through these changes is so that we can increase in His glory and shine to the world that's around us. I would say that I think, and this is not a really big stretch, that our world is going to need a lot of lights and a lot of people that are going to be shining and showing His glory in these days to come. I think you can be assured of that. But then something happened a few days ago. I was cleaning up the backyard after Jonathan's graduation party, and I walked by the waterfall. I saw the waterfall, but I didn't hear the waterfall. I heard the little pump, the recirculation pump, but there was no water. And it was at that very moment that the Lord gave me basically this whole message, like, whoosh, it was like almost like that. There's no running water. The waterfall still looked beautiful, but it did not fulfill its purpose. Knowing that God is concerned for all creatures, where were the many birds that I feed going to get a drink and wash and fly off to wherever they go? And when we sat in our wicker chairs, where was the peace going to come from? Where was the soothing cascade water going to come from? What happened? Simply put, somebody had accidentally, I'm going to say accidentally, had shut off the water at the spigot. See, the water stays on continuously on that spigot. I'm sure whoever did that didn't realize that. But that water stays on continuously because it has a little level fill. Once it gets to a certain level, it just, you know, stops. The life water, the life flow of the waterfall had stopped. So how did I remedy this situation? Even I could figure this out. I simply walked over to the spigot. I turned the handle to release the water. And then I did something. I sat and I watched it. Let me tell you what happens. The water starts filling the reservoir that's underground. You don't see it. Nothing happens. Nothing happens, but something is happening. And all of a sudden, the reservoir of water comes up to a fill cap that's at the top of the waterfall. And now that water, slowly at first, because it takes time to fill the reservoir, slowly at first, just starts dripping and flowing over the edges. And all of a sudden, more water accumulates, and it comes further down the waterfall. And then more water comes, more supply comes. And all of a sudden, a half hour later, we have what you heard before. The very purpose of the waterfall was restored. You know, God's concerned about everything, so the birds could resume their drinking and bathing. And our family could once again sit in His presence and be soothed and quieted by the voice of Abba Father. You know, water and flowing water has a powerful presence in the Word, both in reality and symbolically. We could be here for days, and I mean literally days, uncovering what God has to say about water, flowing water, rivers, lakes, just to be a few. But I decided to give you some scriptures that speaks about that. The first scripture is Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's the tree that's by the river. John 4, 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. John 7:38, he who believes in me, the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living foundations of water, and God will wipe away every tear in their eye. Revelation 14:1-2, then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and with the voice of loud thunder, and I heard the sounds of the harpists playing their harps. One of my favorite pictures of water in any form, whether it's symbolic or real, comes from Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and out of the Lamb. What applications to my life do I see? Well, this is an oversimplification for sure, but here's just a couple. Just as the waterfall needs a source of water, so my life needs Jesus as the sole source of substance. He has to be my supply. There cannot be anything else other than him that provides the source for my life. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. John 3:15-16, which we could all memorize, but we know that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The second point, just as the waterfall brings comfort and soothes the soul, so my life will do the same for the many hurt and bound people that are in the world. And that's for each of us. And the scripture I use is Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Or Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Number three, I need to make sure that there's nothing that hinders the flow of God in my life. No unconfessed sin, no hidden sin, no hateful, no willful disobedience. And Hebrews 12:1-4 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then the fourth thing I noticed that I knew is that removing the hindrance is simply done by one action, and that's repentance. 1 John 1:6-10. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not within us. Once we do this, once we do this simple act, and we've talked about this time and time again, repentance simply means to turn around and go in the other direction. And once we do that, the flow of God in our life is completely restored. Not a little bit restored. Completely restored. And then once again, we can fulfill the purpose of God in our life. Folks, we are in desperate times right now. You know, Steve talked about the decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court. And to my good friend, Rick Boyer, who said if they're not talking about it in church, you may consider going to another church. Rick, we're talking about it if you ever hear this. But I just want to read something from a paragraph that was written yesterday by Francis Frangipane in his message titled, Even Sodom. And this is what Francis said. Is America Sodom? Not yet, but it seemed like it wants to be. In spite of America's embrace of darkness, I believe all we need is a genuine move of God. Amen. Real miracles and actual transformed lives. And the multitudes in darkness will come to the light. Indeed, our cities have seen hell. So let the church now show them heaven. The promise of Christ is that even Sodom could repent in the atmosphere and revelation of Christ's love and power. Amen. If there is hope for Sodom, there's hope for your city as well. Amen. You know, in my life, I have two goals. In my life, I have two objectives. There's two actions that I hope to accomplish each and every day. And I know that you do too. Love God, love people. Because when you do that, when the love of God is flowing through you, you will effectively reach out and change people's lives through the power of Jesus Christ. Is it anything within yourself? No. Folks, let's get that really clear. It has nothing to do with us. Except availability. It has everything to do with Christ. And you know what? I think this is the time. I think the enemy may have overplayed his hand a bit. Because I believe it will be at this time when the darkness becomes darker, the light becomes lighter. I believe we are in a place as a church. I believe we're in the place as a congregation where this is the time where everything that has been imparted by Pastor Roy and Pastor Marie, everything that's been imparted is going to be in play. Amen. And this is the time where you get to practice, yes, with practical knowledge that which you've received via head knowledge. See, head knowledge is great until it makes an 18-inch diversion south. When it becomes heart knowledge, and when he becomes part of who you are, you don't have to say anything. You could simply walk into a room. You could simply walk into a situation. And people are going to know, without even knowing, that the presence of God is on you. They may ask a question, they may not. It doesn't make a difference. They will have been affected by the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
The flow, just like the waterfall that I have in my backyard. When I sit out there at night and I just hear the water and I just sit, don't necessarily do anything. Brings a peace. Our lives are going to be as that waterfall is to me and my family. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be distracted by what you're hearing. Because two things you got to remember. This is not our home. We are visiting. We know the landlord. We know where we're going. And because of that, we have hope everlasting and eternal. Amen. Fear not, amen. For your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I just thank you because it is because of you, Lord, that this transformation is occurring in each and every one here. And for anyone that hears this, they simply, Lord, need to cry out to you. And that transformation that each of us has felt and known here in this fellowship can be received by each and every person that cries out to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as our country seeks to turn its face from you, we cry out in its place. We intercede for this country, Lord, and say, forgive us, O God. Forgive us as a country, Lord, for thinking that we have all of the answers apart from you, when in reality, we have none. Lord, we rejoice in you. We thank you. We bless you. We worship you. You are our all in all, God. Be our source of power. Be our source of encouragement. Be our source of life. Till the day we come to be home with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.